This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
All right. If you have checked out the new Netflix doc about Samuel Bateman and the FDLS cult, you're in for a good episode. Samuel Bateman was borrowing $20 originally, sleeping on couches. 3 years later, fathers were handing him their 9-year-old daughters, and businessmen were buying him Bentleys. The Netflix doc, Trust Me, The False Prophet, shows you what he built. It doesn't show you how the specific moves a man with nothing used to make 50 people hand over everything. What did he see in them that we couldn't see in themselves, that they couldn't see in themselves? That's the question that we are asking today as we get into that doc and the thinking of Bateman and the thinking of the FLDS members and how people get there. I think that's a big question so many have is, how did you even get here? How did you find yourself falling into this world this hard? Joining Robin Dreek and myself to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Nightbird is her book. She is someone who has survived this type of extreme religiosity and is here to talk about it. And you have helped countless people since with your own story. Siobhan, let's start with the doc here. You watch the doc. You see the parents educated enough to hold jobs, run businesses, raise families. They seem like fairly normal folks. And so you start talking about religion and giving their children to some guy that kind of came out of the woodwork, not at gunpoint, voluntarily. He's the prophet. What is it about someone like Bateman? What is it that he operates under that makes otherwise functional people do something as horrific as literally handing over their daughters to him?
Yeah. This would not be a man. I don't think many of us would look at him and say, "I want him as my baby daddy." All appearances, somebody that could have been framed a loser. But I think it was when he stepped into this, there was this cohesive group. They had lost contact for the most part with Warren Jeffs, their prophet. They came in with tremendous vulnerabilities and a lot of thinking errors and distorted belief systems. These were people who were needing a shepherd. They were needing guidance. And I didn't get the impression that Sam was a particularly bright person, but he was a highly manipulative person. And manipulative people are dangerous, even when they're not really bright. You know, yeah. When they're super bright, they run for office and get elected to high office just on virtue of being manipulative. But yeah, he knew how to use love bombing. He knew how to do this gradual takeover of their minds to position himself as a prophet, which essentially, in the way this worked, he was their God. And mm-hmm. they were trained that these young women, everything was about obedience. And this is what spirituality meant to them. You stay sweet, you stay subservient, you learn not to think, and you obey. And that was the way to heaven. And it just was this combination of people in this vulnerable state without a leader, and this guy just swooped in with the garbage.
You know, Siobhan, I'm curious, and I know we're going to get to this and talking about the amazing documentarian, Catherine, not Catherine, is it Catherine on this? We'll get to her. But what I'm really curious at the very onset of this, what really struck me, and I'm curious what you think it was, because from my take, it looked like when Samuel came in, he targeted one of the guys first, one of the higher ups. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like he did something that solved some sort of life crisis for him, which is what you do when you're recruiting, aspire recruiting anyone. You bring in resources that are going to solve some critical life challenge. And then when you have the behaviors of trust, you might have a relationship kind of thing. But what do you think it was that he solved or was able to make this attachment, to have this loyalty to this one of these elders, we'll just call him elders, sort of point mm-hmm. of this, mm-hmm. early on, that enabled him to kind of weave his way to get this guy to eventually give up his underage daughters?
His daughters, yeah. Yeah, I would love to know the conversations that they had, because we really didn't get into that aspect of it, which leaves us curious. But definitely he could tune in on what people needed to hear. And I believe Warren Jeffs had told them all, you can't have sex anymore. You can't have babies anymore.
You can't get married.
Unless you have permission.
Warren was the only one who could perform the marriages. And then once he got arrested, no one was allowed. Because there's a documentary prior to this about Warren Jeffs that goes deeply into that. It's kind of like the part two to it almost. So nobody was getting married in Short Creek for a long time. And then suddenly somebody was married, and they were married to Bateman. And then everybody was kind of like, ooh, I miss Skittles too. Maybe we can do kind of something like this. And then everybody was kind of like, he must be the new prophet.
Right.
The power of that suggestion there was quite amazing. That's what gets me about this guy. And you said it early. It doesn't take someone to be super intelligent to be cunning or manipulative to be effective. I think that's what is shocking to a lot of people. In my mind, I don't know. For those of us who don't practice, you know, active manipulation on large populations of people, which is most of us, I think in my mind, I always think, well, you got to be like, if you're going to do that, you got to like be really smart and really with it. No, you just have to believe your own shit. Yeah. You just have to believe that you are a prophet. And if you just basically play a role, and it's a very simple, stupid role. Like if this guy threw out a YouTube channel, people would be like, what the hell is wrong with him? Like, this is a crazy man. But if you do it to the right people in the right way, and you're kind about it, and you know, at least initially, and you're loving about it, and you speak their language, and the language of basically eternal damnation or salvation, and I happen to be the only one who knows which way to go, you can get a lot of people.
Yeah, I saw echoes of Chad Daybell in him.
Yeah,
the 100%. profound narcissism, the manipulation, and to some degree, delusional with, you know, probably he would be diagnosed with a delusional disorder, you know, not really psychotic, but you've got this one set belief, which you're not going to let go of. Mm-hmm. And he really had no capacity to see himself as the rest of the world would look at this, because he believed he was this terrific. And he believed he, and probably still does, believes he is a prophet, which basically means every word of his out of his mouth is coming from Heavenly Father. And these poor young women were so brainwashed into this, no capacity to think for themselves. It's just,
I start out by blaming the guys on this. You know, so here's a guy that comes into this pre-arranged cult of FDLS with $20 in his pocket because he's a complete failure, just like Chad Daybell was. I mean, Chad Daybell couldn't do anything, so he actually had to resort to the only income he could get was killing people and getting their life insurance policies, right? This guy is exactly the same, and yet it's astounding me that he was able to he can't manipulate his way through life to get more than $20, but he can come in and completely manipulate the first guy who's a successful businessman. Because so here's a guy that was given Bentleys, had all this money, and his flock was 20 to 30 people, 50 at its most. And so this wasn't big, but these were wealthy enough people to give it all to him through this manipulation, yet he couldn't manipulate his own world outside of this. I mean, it's just profound. And like you said, you just look at this guy, you listen to this guy, and he believed his own crap. I mean, right into the Queen of England, doing a music video for her. What the hell?
He'll love it. And the fact that Christine during the whole thing's like, let's make the
Christine,
music video.
Catherine, right?
Let's make it work. And to go along with it, like, okay. Like that's some very interesting embedded reporting that
she
saw.
She was a genius. She was a sheer genius. And I know we'll talk about her more later, but when it comes to FBI undercover work, I've never seen any, and she wasn't even working on behalf of the FBI at that time. I have never seen anyone more effective at what they needed to do than her. She intuitively knew exactly what to do.
I was just going to say that. Oh, yeah.
Genius, sheer genius.
She went on instinct, and she really knew how to feed his narcissism. And her husband did the same thing too.
Yeah.
They
both
fed his narcissism. And if you get a narcissist that's not terribly bright and you feed their narcissism in that way, you can manipulate them to really show their true colors.
And that's the way she did it. You know, just coming in and saying, I want to do this documentary on you. And just like you, Siobhan, she had reps in this world because she had been abused by this world. So she knew how to communicate. But at the same time, though, typically people that are high-level manipulators can pick up on people trying to take advantage of them pretty cleanly, you know, like the Samuel guy. Mm-hmm. Yet she was so good at not giving any leakage whatsoever to tip him off of the fact that she's there to save the girls, 100%. That's her entire mission. And yet that compassion, that empathy towards them was extremely real and present and in the moment. Yet she was able to look exactly the same to him. Mm-hmm. That's what blew my mind. That's where her genius was, pure genius. What a human being.
She really did that heart-to-heart connection. They could feel that she cared about them, and she cared about the babies. She cared about the all the women. And people who are deprived, and these folks were certainly deprived in so many ways, they're drawn to that. Yeah. And you don't ever win them over by coming in and criticizing their beliefs.
Right.
But you come in with making that heart connection. And she did it.
Yeah, she really did.
When you have high-level manipulators like this, or when you have high-level manipulators, ones that are able to manipulate people knowing that they're manipulating people, knowing that if I pull this lever here, I'm going to get this result and this sort of complicity with people. I mean, for example, Bateman made the followers confess their sins publicly. I mean, this is something that a lot of cults do. Scientology does it through, through the, what is it called? Where you hold in the little cans, basically, and then you confess your things, and then they write it all down, and then they use it against you if you ever try to like go against them. I mean, so many do that. Confess your sins to me. Confess your sins to this human being, and I shall supposedly just, you know, it's supposed to be your respite, your way of letting it out, and then this other person hears them, and then you're forgiven. It should never then be used over you like a lever, but if you're going to be manipulative, you use it like a lever and hold it over people. And this is one of the things that Bateman did to his followers. There's ones that are doing that with intent, knowing if I get this information, I can use it over them. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if Bateman is one of those, or if in so many of these cases, they're not looking at that as a manipulation lever. It's just how things function. It's just, this is the information I have. This is what happens. I am the leader. I'm the one in control. I am hearing from God. And this is just how things function. They're not looking at it as manipulation. Do you think Bateman looked at any of this as manipulation? Do you think Bateman's just believing his own thing and people are flocking to him because they want to believe in something and nobody is literally sitting here in the corner conniving going, how am I going to control these people? It just works when everybody believes the same delusion and people subscribe to a mentally ill person.
Mm-hmm. I think he did, and this was probably his Machiavellian instincts, right? How do I maneuver here and get power? Because he wanted to keep his thumb on everything. And by getting people to confess their failings, their, you know, again, their vulnerable areas, it gave him a sense of power because he saw himself in this godlike position. And, you know, it put him one above them. And certainly if someone had tried to break off, I don't doubt that he would have used what he knew about them to control them. So another part of coercive control.
It definitely, as time went on through the special, as the years progressed, it looked as though he truly believed the crap coming out of his mouth. I mean, Do you think he actually believed it coming out of his mouth when he went in, or was that a progression from, hey, maybe I can try this, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, I am this?
It would be good to know and ask him, at what point did you become aware that you were a prophet? And it was probably at some point he had woke up with an epiphany, hey, I can do this, and started testing it out. And then it gradually, it reinforced him because he was pulling it off. But yeah, when he had them, this video that he wanted taken of him out riding the motorcycle. And as they said, he wasn't a very good motorcycle rider, but I want to see myself on the motorcycle. I want music videos of me. Here's where Queen Elizabeth is going to sit after, you know, she's my next wife. I mean, no intelligent person, they would realize when they're taking it too far and they're getting bizarre out there. And yeah, I think that says a lot about his mental state.
I mean, how does someone like that, I'm sorry, Tony, how does someone like that, that sees Warren Jeffs behind bars for taking advantage of all these underage wives he had, think it's actually a great idea to repeat it again and not get caught?
Mm-hmm. Did not learn from lessons. Clearly,
no.
This is a guy who did not connect the dots well, and this grandiosity that he displayed was so profound, he thought he was untouchable.
But there is a moment in the doc where Christine says, let's take some photos of you with the young girls. And he has enough sense to say, oh, that's how they took Warren Jeffs down. We better
exactly.
not do that.
Yeah.
So I mean, that I found striking. That made me go, oh, he is aware of what's going on. Because if he was so delusionally aware and he thought, you know, God's master plan is at work right now and God's going to protect us from everything, I don't think he'd be saying, well, that's how they took Warren Jeffs down. I think he'd be like, of course, this is what we want to share this with the world. But at the end, is this a prime example of how narcissism wins every time? Not the narcissist. But anyone who practices, it's the narcissism like a disease that takes him down with the videos, the music videos, the let's have a camera crew follow me around as I do virtually everything Warren Jeffs did. And then that sort of exposure. Is this just that where it's like, you don't really need to do much. Just let him be in his environment and it will destroy. He will destroy himself in time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he had a little bit of savvy about that because that was something that was very concrete that obviously he stuck with that one, you know, keep the little girls out of the wedding poses here. But he sure let a lot of people know that these were his wives going down to 9 years old. And I mean, when it got into the sexual behavior, it was just sickening.
And that's where I am so, again, we keep harping on how amazing Christine was. What do you think she did that was able to engender trust with him to allow him to put everything on video as a documentary after an organization had been taken down by, and as close as it was under Warren Jeffs, and they were still taken down, yet this idiot, thankfully he's an idiot, allowed Christine in a documentary who's not part of the FLDS to come in and video. What do you think what was she doing that could actually feed so heavily into that narcissism without him being skeptical of entrapment?
Compliments, feeding his ego consistently over and over, talking about how much she loved them all. And I think when it came to the women and the children, that was very genuine on her part.
100%.
It certainly felt that way. And I'm not completely sure how much time it took. I think it said in the beginning people were skeptical of her.
Sure.
But over time, they came to believe her. And that was that deep ability she had to role play a very heart-to-heart connection and to truly admire him. There was a lot in the video where she was making very admiring comments of him. And his ego just swelled up.
Yeah, you just feed that ego, and it's amazing. It's amazing what how delicious that must taste to some people.
Exactly.
That they're able to just be like, okay, wherever you lead me, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
For someone who is, you know, so powerfully manipulative, how easy one can pull that over their own eyes if you know what levers to pull.
Yeah.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube about this segment. Siobhan's book, Nightbird, available wherever you get books. Go and check that out. And
please
we'll
get
that
book. It'll serve you or someone you know in your life very, very well. It's a fantastic quick read. Really good.
Your thoughts in the comments on Substack and YouTube, and press subscribe.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.